And tonight on Coast to Coast, we'll talk about communing with the divine. We're going to talk about angels with Dimitri Moraitis and Barbara Martin next on Coast to Coast AM. Well, it's only been about 3.5 years since they were both with me, Barbara Martin, Dimitri Moraitis, as we talked then about their work, karma and reincarnation, the healing power of your aura. Now we talk about communing with the divine, angels. First of all, let me introduce Barbara for you. She is the co-founder of the Spiritual Arts Institute in Los Angeles, having been called the Mozart of metaphysics. Barbara considered one of the foremost clairvoyants and metaphysical teachers that are out there. Barbara, welcome back.
Thank you very much. I'm glad to be back.
Me too. Looking forward to this. And, of course, Dimitri Moraitis is a co-founder, executive producer, of course, of the Spiritual Arts Institute as well. Originally trained in film and television, Dimitri redirected his entire life's work to pursue the path of metaphysics. And Dimitri, I bet you're glad you did, aren't you?
I really am. I really am. It's been a life joy.
It's great to be talking
with you again.
Me too. So much has gone on since you two were last on with me 3.5 years ago.
And I
can't believe how fast.
Yeah.
My gosh. I don't think of a time where we need spiritual guidance and angelic help than right now. Dimitri, do you feel that way?
Oh, absolutely. You know, they've been saying for a long time we're in a very critical age right now. The higher calls it the tail end of the scorpion. You know, it's the sort of the end of an era and the beginning of another era. And it's the fact that there's a spiritual renaissance that's happening on a global level, and it's not focused in any particular area. It's almost like the grass is just growing all over the planet. Means that people are really ready to take another step in their spiritual evolution. And the Holy Ones tell us that even though it's a very, you know, it's a very challenging time, it also is a time of great opportunity if you capture the opportunity, if you grab it.
Barbara, how do you feel about that?
Very good.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a remarkable period right now. You've been saying this for years, Barbara, how important the time it is right now.
Right.
Yeah.
It's very important.
Yeah.
Now, you know, with this work with these celestial beings, first of all, let's get a definition of what these beings might be. Who wants to take a jump at that?
Okay, well, that's a great question because so many people talk about angels and archangels and other types of non-physical beings. But the book was primarily about what we call the spiritual hierarchy. And these hierarchy is a network of divine beings on the other side that are sort of the administrators of the divine plan. There is actually a plan for humanity. We have our free will, whether we're going to cooperate with that plan or not, but each of us has a purpose in this life, and collectively as humanity, there's a purpose. And it's supported by the divine. You know, we're getting so good at understanding the physical life right now. We're discovering things about the atoms and subatomic particles and energies we didn't even realize in the universe. But we must realize that there's an underlying spiritual cause for all of this, and these celestial beings are helping to support all of that. And by getting close to them, we get close to, essentially, our own mystical nature.
And a friend of mine asked me yesterday, why are we here? How did we get here? You know, how was this all done? And, you know, he's a believer in God, but he just doesn't understand, like many of us, what God might be. And, you know, very perplexed, trying to get some answers to this. I think something that we're all trying to, you know, you look at the different star systems and planets that are out there. It's magnificent.
Yeah.
But then to think about a God that created all this before any of this was created, kind of boggles the mind, Dimitri, doesn't it?
It really does. And, you know, it wasn't that long ago we thought, you know, the Earth was, you know, the universe was 6,000 years old. You looked up the stars and they were fixed in the sky. And life was kind of simple, you know, in a way. And so God was more kind of comprehensible in that picture. Now, as you say, when we look through the Hubble telescope and we see billions and billions and billions of galaxies, we say, oh, my God, how can we count all of this?
Yeah.
But the point is we do. What the Holy Ones say is that as staggering as creation is, if one soul were missing, creation would not be complete.
That's interesting.
So we're not just part of the process. We're indispensable. You know, the difference, let's say, between an amoeba and an archangel, they both have the same spark of life within, but the archangel is more developed in consciousness. So the evolution we're going through, and what your friend is saying, gee, is there God, or maybe there is, but why can't I sense? That's a discovery in consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the midst of God right now, but we're trying to awaken that awareness. And this is, again, where the celestial beings come. The reason we admire the angels and archangels so much is that they have that direct awareness of God. So when they come near to us, they bring that consciousness with them, and that inspires us to reach higher. You know, there's an old adage by the ancients. They used to say, the seeking of the philosopher's stone sets up the condition to find it. So the very questions we ask in life about God, about life, if it's a genuine thing and we're really searching, it will yield results if we stay with it until we get to those results.
Oh, good point. And Barbara, how did you get involved in all of this? I know we talked about that 3.5 years ago. Lots of new people have joined us. Tell us how you got into this.
I could see the aura from age 3, and as it developed, I went deeper into metaphysics. So it naturally flowed freely.
And when you got into it at that age, did you get better and better and better?
Yes.
It's interesting. At 11, she studied with a hermetic scientist that taught her about what she was seeing. And in her 20s, she studied with a mystic here in Los Angeles to help train her. I know she gave you an aura reading some years ago. Maybe she can do a little update tonight to see how you're doing. And actually, she said something just before the show that she saw a brighter pink. She was kind of tuning into you a little bit and saw a brighter pink light. So evidently, your love flow is getting stronger. Are you deeper in love right now?
I'm always in love, Dimitri. I'm in love with life.
Yeah.
You know? Let's talk then about angels. You know, when you look at Genesis and fallen angels, you know, they weren't too happy with what would be humankind. There was no interest in us at all. How do we distinguish the difference between the good and the bad angels?
Oh, boy, that's a big topic. Well, first of all, the angels, of course, are part of the divine hierarchy. But what people may not realize, some religious schools believe angels have no free will. They have to obey the will of God, so to speak. But that's not actually true. They're doing this out of their own free will. And unfortunately, it is true that some have chosen not to do that. There's an old expression, these beings have fallen from a higher place than you and I have yet reached. So they got, unfortunately, entranced with their own splendor, you know, how marvelous they were. And instead of glorifying the source of where it all came from, they started kind of glorifying themselves. And it became more a story of ambition. The reason they're doing a lot of what they're doing is ambition. They're ambitious. Barbara, you have a great story. When she was a teenager, if I may say it for her, she was getting so many different gifts that were just coming to her, almost like she wasn't asking for them. She could, for example, sit in the classroom in high school, know what the teacher was going to ask and know the answer to the question even before she asked the question. And she said, you know, I got a little cocky. You know, I started to think I was the cat's meow because I didn't seem to have to work for this. And the higher decided to kind of teach her a lesson. So what they did is they completely withdrew all those talents, those spiritual talents.
Oh, really? They just yanked them from her?
They just yanked them from her. And for a couple of weeks, and Barbara was perplexed, couldn't figure out what was going on. Then finally it hit her. Oh, my God. These talents aren't coming from me. They're coming through me.
That's right.
What we have to remember. Even any talent we have, great artistry, great skill in it, you know, we've earned the right to have it, but it is something that is coming, moving through us. And that way we don't get the ego so entrapped in it. And these fallen ones, unfortunately, have gotten caught up in the ego. And that's the danger.
You know, when we take phone calls next hour, I'm sure we'll get calls on angelic intervention, events that have occurred that have truly helped people.
Oh, yes.
Who summons them in? How do they know, for example, that person's in trouble? that, you know, they're ready to go over a cliff in a truck, and they come and turn the truck back onto the road.
Great question.
Who monitors that?
Well, first of all, and maybe Barbara can tune into yours tonight, we have literally certain angels assigned to us. Of course, we know about our guardian angels, but we also have what are known as teaching angels. And these teaching angels are kind of doing what you're saying. They're helped to monitor. And they know very quickly if something's going on, oh, George's in trouble right now. And they can come, they can summon the archangels, they can call in whatever help is needed to get you through a difficult moment.
But not always, right?
Well, a couple of things. They can't interfere with our free will. If I'm saying, I don't care what you're inspired to, I'm going to do this anyway, they let us do it. Okay, Dimitri, you're going to get this lesson then. And sometimes in the general free will of humanity, they have to let things happen as part of, you know, we're growing as a humanity, as a civilization, so they have to allow for certain mistakes, sometimes, unfortunately, even terrible ones, so that as a humanity, we can learn our lessons. But it's up to a point. Barbara, you were saying, this was some years ago when I first met her, during the Cold War era, that there were three times where they literally had to intervene to prevent a nuclear holocaust.
But they will do that.
Because that's too far. The results of that would have been so disastrous. Humanity would have taken ages to get back on its feet again. It would have been like what, you know, Einstein said, if we really fight World War III, World War IV will fight with sticks and stones, you know.
Oh, that's so true.
Yeah, so in those cases, they will step in. And this is also something to remember, because it's so easy, as you said at the beginning of this program, to get caught in some of the, you know, the challenges of the world, and you know,
no question.
But to realize they would not let it. You know, we're not doing this alone. Yes, we're making some big mistakes. We're polluting the atmosphere. We're greedy beyond. You know,
we're killing each other.
Exactly. We're doing a lot of things, but at the same time, the higher is there, and at the right time, this will correct itself. But what we have to do is stay strong, not to let these things disturb us to the point that, you know, we do something crazy ourselves. Stay close to the light. That's what they say now. Stay close to the light. There's never been a better time to grow in the light. Unfortunately, there's also never been a better time to get off the mark. So there really is kind of a separating going on right now. And it's just stay in the light. And even though there may be storms coming through, you know, storms pass. And then the daylight comes again. And ultimately, there is brighter days. We are heading to a new age. And eventually, when we pass our tests as a humanity, we'll get there. And interestingly enough, one of the big tests they say right now, and of course we felt it not that many years ago, is the test of wealth. Right now, there's a massive planetary test that's going on. Can humanity put, you know, the divine above financial matters? Because a lot of these problems now are being based on, you know, vested interests. People are doing this because they want, you know.
They're greedy.
Extremely, extremely. And it's not only on, you know, heads of corporations. It can be on a much more personal level. I mean, we got a little greedy before 2008. Oh, I can get into a house even though I can't afford it, you know. And there's a little bit of, you know, it's a little bit of selfishness with that. So we have to look also within ourselves, not only, oh boy, what are they doing to the, you know, what are these corporations doing to the planet? But once, if we can pass this test of wealth, we're going to be in an incredibly much better place as a humanity.
And if we can't?
Well, we're going to keep facing the lessons. We may have another 2008, and it may be worse, you know.
Yeah.
We'll keep getting, you know, it's sooner or later. You know, the challenge is sometimes the soul does only awakens. You know, it gets complacent, and sometimes it has to suffer a little bit to finally say, okay, I get this. I get this. Okay, I'm hearing you now. I'm finally hearing you. And then we respond. You know, we're not all like Barbara that has such direct communication, but I can tell you she's helped me build up a union with the higher. And when I started to build it, I realized, oh, my gosh, wait a minute. They've been here all along. You know, I was getting the signals more subtly, but they've been steering this, you know, not just now, but before. They work with all of us every single day. There's that beautiful story you talked about, Genesis, Jacob's dream, you know, of the ladder that went all the way to heaven. But what was so special about that dream? Every step on the ladder was attended to by an angel. And the mystical significance of that is that every key turning point in our life, we're not alone. They're right there, helping us every step of the way. From the moment we die, I mean, we're born to the moment we die, they help us through life's journey. And if we start to acknowledge them more directly, you know, literally start calling on them, even though we may not see them, they will get even closer to us. That's what they ask us to do, get closer to us. We want that relationship to build, and we'll help you. We'll help you get through these things, and we'll help you fulfill what you came here to do.
I'm assuming, Dimitri, that they were created pretty darn close to the formation of the universe.
Well, what's really interesting with all of that is that they're evolving too. There's an old expression, even the Christ is looking up, which means that the angels evolved to the angelic kingdom. The archangels evolved to the angelic kingdom. But you're right, the hierarchies existed from the beginning of time. They helped set up the universe. They assisted the divine in that process. They helped get this world we're living in going. And one day, we will start to become part of that hierarchy ourselves. They will move on to even greater glories. But we're part, you know, one of the things that we talk about in the book is what's called the 12 kingdoms of nature. And in those 12 kingdoms, you know, we kind of understand the Kabbalistic idea that a rock becomes a plant an animal a man. But from man, we move on to the higher kingdoms, which include angels and archangels and so forth. So when we finish our pilgrimage in the human kingdom, however long that's going to take, we'll eventually go start our new journey in the angelic kingdom. And the angels will move on to the archangelic kingdom. And it will be this incredible continuing process. The Kabbalah was very interesting in how they described this and some of the other mystical traditions, too, about the evolution of these higher celestial beings.
Do they talk much about evil, Dimitri?
Oh, yes. And one of the things that attracted me to Barbara at the very beginning of meeting her was her telling, you know, alerting me to dangers. Not to get preoccupied, not to obsess over it, but, you know, some people, when they have their awakening, they get so excited and everything is wonderful and it's all lilacs and roses, and there are dangers in the path, and we have to be alert. There are sinister spirits, I hate to say this, they won't interfere with you if you, you know, if you're kind of on guard, but sometimes we open up to them without realizing we're doing it, and it does kind of open a door. Barbara, can I share a little bit that story about that trance medium?
Yeah.
Yeah, this is a marvelous story, and it shows you how scary some of this can be. I don't know if your listeners are familiar with what a trance medium is, but this is somebody that supposedly goes into a trance, and another being from the other side comes over and literally... Yeah.
And it's like Whoopi Goldberg was in the movie Ghost.
You got it. Exactly. Exactly right, yeah. And, you know, the idea is it's usually like an evolved soul and some advanced being, and, you know, and so the audience can talk to them directly, and their mannerisms change, and their voice changes, and it's dramatic to see that happen. But the problem is, the person is literally in a trance, so really doesn't know who's coming through. They can't see them.
And can't control it either, can they?
More dangerously, exactly. You hit the nail right on the head.
Dimitri, we're going to come back in just a moment more on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast AM. You know, the California Earthquake Authority, KFI AM, our station in Los Angeles, 640, and the American Red Cross joining forces. They want to get California prepared. It's an urgent message. You know, they're always concerned about the next damaging disaster. To raise money for this cause, we are auctioning off dinner with all the KFI hosts, including me, at Morton's in Burbank, California, followed by a tour of the studios. So for bidding, log on to KFIAM640.com, okay? KFIAM640.com. Up in the search window, put in Red Cross, and then scroll all the way down and bid on me. It's simple as that. Welcome back to Coast to Coast. Dimitri Moraitis with us, of course, as we talk about his work with Barbara Martin called Communing with the Divine. When you two were putting this work together, Dimitri, did it come like as an epiphany, or was it hard? Was it difficult?
You know, it's a good question, because I knew when we started on this project it was going to be a monumental task. The hierarchy is a big job. Now, I've been working with Barbara for 30 years now, this year, literally, actually. So there was an accumulated backlog of information that was already there that I was already, and I've been training with her for many years. And, of course, she was seeing auras from age three. So a lot of it was organizing already known material and Barbara's many stories and experiences. But I was amazed when we got into it, literally what you said, how many new epiphanies they were bringing in. They would literally, you know, before maybe where they were just kind of touching on a topic, now they would kind of flush it out and you would go, oh my gosh, you know. And it was really a thrilling experience. It took about 2 years to write the book, but a lot is in there. And the only thing I really understood after all of this is, my God, people really need to hear this. They're bringing this through because it's the time for it. So it means people are really ready, like you said at the beginning of the show, to really know we're not alone and there really is help out there and we can really seek it and get that help.
You know, there are episodes, Dimitri, where, you know, little babies come down with cancer and they die. And right. I mean, just the tragedies of life.
I know.
And the parents always say, where's God when you need him for this? How could he do this to us? How could he have a little baby die? How do you answer that?
That's a tough one. And not being a parent, I wouldn't want to put myself in their shoes, the sorrow they would feel with such a loss as that. And also, we must understand the higher is not immune to the tragedies and sorrows of humanity. They do weep for us in tears of compassion. So it's certainly not a lack of care. Years ago, I asked the higher this question about, you know, there was something about the 2 million children that are starving or whatever in North Korea and, you know, all of that. And say, how could, kind of like you're saying, how could the higher allow this and such suffering? And the first answer that came through is, that's not how the higher first sees us. You know, remember, we got to remember, we have an immortal spark of life that's within us. It's called our soul. And that soul is, it cannot be destroyed. The body can be destroyed, but not the soul. So we are immortal. Our soul, your soul, my soul, has always existed in some form because it's part of life itself. And that's where real compassion comes in. We know, okay, we may go through a tragic experience, but for example, that child that does die, it's the body that dies. That full soul that is in there goes on. There was some reason that soul went through that experience. Either it was accidental, it was karmic, it was part of the physical world we live in. We have to go through many types of things. But that soul is not gone. That soul goes on. And if there was some experience that was denied to it, it will get a second opportunity, even more splendid, to come back and do it. So if we've lost loved ones, the first thing the higher teaches us, you know, no love is ever lost. They're still there. You will meet up with them again, maybe not right away, but we're talking about eternity here. So we have to think of this like school. Earth is school, and if for some reason we bail out quicker, it's just part of the life experience. We don't see the full picture of why it happens here. It does not mean God does not care or the divine is not there. They are most absolutely there. But like we were saying with other things in life, they have to let certain things play out because we're not automatons. We're creative beings, and we have to express that creativity in one way or the other.
And we have our own choices, I guess.
Absolutely. Otherwise, we would be machines. We would have to just, orders to do this, must do that. It's the freedom of choice that gives us the joy of life, also the sorrows of life, and also gives us the creativity. How can we be creative if we don't have that freedom to create? And in the end, it always balances out. As we were talking about when we were with the karmic, the story of karma, karma always balances out. Even if it seems like we're getting the short end of the stick, eventually it'll come back and it'll swing back the way. That story of Job in the Bible, you know, that's the story of suffering. Here was a devout man, went through every horrendous thing you could possibly imagine. And the great question, why would God allow such suffering to exist? But what many people forget about that story is at the very end of the story, not only did he get everything back, but he got it back 10 times over. So we have to remember, and Blavatsky used to say, that story of Job is the story of initiation. It's the story every soul goes through in one way or the other to deal with all the challenges of life, but come out victorious. And we're all destined for that. It's just a matter of when it'll happen. We'll all get there one way or the other.
Now, these celestial beings, Dimitri, we generally can't see them.
Right.
So where are they? Are they in another dimension, multiverse? Where are they?
Well, that's a great question. We are in a multidimensional universe. That's absolutely true. For example, we, of course, have this physical world we know all too well. When we pass through the portal we call death, we go to what we call the other side. But that other side is not nebulous. There's an actual place there. It's called the astral planes. And that's where we go from here to acclimate to the other side. There's seven of these planes, but eventually we do graduate to what are known as the heaven worlds. And these are wonderful, glorious realms. And this is where the hierarchy works us from. They come from these great celestial planes. And that's where all the power and the glory and the light and ideas. So in other words, every great idea that has ever come to this planet, that has ever benefited humanity, first was generated in the inner worlds. We think of something like what Einstein did, you know, how he brought through ideas that changed the world forever. Well, where did those ideas come from? And we know he also created them in a relatively short window of time. Well, they were inspired from the inner worlds. It was time for humanity to have that information. And thank God he was a good receiver of that information. Interestingly enough, later he tried his own ideas, you know, the unified field theory. He spent the rest of his life and didn't finish that. So for some reason, that issue is not, it's time yet. Someone else one day will figure that out, or a group of people, and then we'll be at the next era of unfoldment. So things happen in life in a sequence when they're kind of, it's when it's the time. And we've seen that, even like when calculus first came through, even though it was coming through Newton, there were others that were kind of developing along the same lines. So it was almost like it was literally in the atmosphere. And this is another thing they tell us. When you get a great idea for something, let's say it is an invention or a story or a script or whatever, don't wait on that. There's a reason you're getting it. And it is very possible someone else could pick up a similar thought and kind of capitalize on it, because there's no copyrights on the other side. You know, it's kind of free. And people in the movie business will tell you, you know, sometimes people accuse us of stealing ideas. But the truth is, when we get all these scripts, sometimes people who have no contact with each other at all are writing similar stories.
Because question about that. But yeah. Why evil? Let's get back to that for a second. Why does that come into the equation?
That's a very, very good question, one we've always asked in the ages. Of course, we don't have all the answers, but it comes to a couple of things. One, we have to remember there is what we call a oneness of life. There is one unifying principle that exists throughout the universe, and everything is connected to that oneness. Not the sameness, it doesn't mean we're the same, but underlying all this diversity of life, there's a unifying principle. And we're trying to either draw closer to it, like the Taoists say, kind of returning back to the Tao, or we resist it and kind of create this sense of separation. You're there, I'm here, we have nothing to do with each other. Well, that's not completely true. Yes, you are there, I'm here, but in addition to that, there is something more that's going on. And as we pull this together, we feel the oneness. Now, if we deliberately resist that oneness, then we create this sense of division. And this is where evil comes into the picture. There's two ways to look at evil. Evil is a behavior, the idea of evil itself, and evil, like when we were talking about spirits and things of that nature. evil as a behavior, we very well know exists. The metaphysics defines evil behavior as a deliberate misuse of spiritual knowledge and talents for diabolical or evil ends, selfish ends. So in other words, if I know something in life, I know a principle, let's say I'm very good at something, and I deliberately twist that because I figure ways I could either get advantage or make money off of it, or even if I hurt people in the process, but I'm just, my goal is to get to that end result, that can be stepping into the area of evil. Now, why does God allow this? Why is it hard? There are two main reasons. Number one, what you said before, free will. They have to, if they start interfering with free will when we make our mistakes, we'll never grow. And the other is a testing ground. In other words, let's say I have a slightly selfish streak in me, and it doesn't really show itself. There's nothing to provoke it. But someone who's kind of on an evil bent inspires me to, you know, join them in this whatever crusade they're on, and I say, hey, that sounds like a great idea. That's a test to see, can I say no to that? I mean, we look at Siddhartha, who became the Buddha. Mm-hmm. He went on this long voyage, right? When he left the palace, he wasn't suddenly like enlightened the next day. He went years searching. And finally, when he was under that Bodhi tree, before he got enlightened, he had the test of Mara, who appeared and tried every way to either seduce him or scare him or anything to pull him off of what he was doing. But as the story goes, he was unmoved. And once he was able to pass that test of evil, and it could not have any influence on him, then he was enlightened.
Can you summon up an angel?
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, it is a request. As a matter of fact, what we teach is that's what they do want you to call on them. Now, we must say this. We don't want to call on them, well, it'd be nice if we could, to find the winning lottery numbers. You know, if everybody did that, there'd be no lottery.
Right.
You know, so,
oh, darn.
Yeah. Hey, we all got the numbers. 1 million people all got the winning lottery numbers at the same time. You know? Yeah. But they're there to help you fulfill your destiny. So whatever you're meant to accomplish or challenge in life is, they're there for you. But here's what they say. Look, you know, we know we're kind of in a different, you know, higher vibration and all of that. We'll step down our vibration to kind of meet you. But you've got to do your part. You've got to step up your vibration to meet us. So in other words, if I'm really angry at somebody and upset about something, if I try to ask for angelic help at that time, I really won't hear anything they're trying to say to me. I'm too upset right now. But if I say, you know what? Okay, the situation is not resolved. I don't know what I'm going to do here, but I'm going to step out of my anger right now. I'm going to step out of my sadness, out of my frustration, and reach up higher to them. Then they will. I will be able to hear what they're saying. And the keynote we emphasize a lot is to work to hone your intuitive skills. We do classes where we ask people to try to tune into that higher nature. And it's interesting. There might be a room full of people, and maybe one quarter will say, oh, I got something. Say, three quarters got nothing. Okay, let's find out a little bit. We'll press a little harder. And it turns out a lot of these other people did get something, but it wasn't what they expected or what they wanted, quote unquote, so they didn't pay attention to it. So every day this is happening. We're getting certain ideas that really are them kind of inspiring us, but because it's not like always a sign in the sky and a giant angel appearing in front of you, we disregard it, not realizing it really is them talking to us.
At the moment of death, are angels by our bedside?
Absolutely. They help us in the transition process, and they help us get home when we cross over. So let's say if you're at a funeral and a loved one, you know, someone is there, most likely they're probably there at the funeral. And it's always a good idea to say, follow the angels home, follow the angels home, follow the angels home. When I first moved into this house I'm living in right now, it was a probate home. The person that had lived here died of Agent Orange. And I was so rushed to get in. All the stuff was in the house. I was sleeping in the living room floor. And Barbara had always taught me, you know, purify the house before you go in there. I didn't do that. And in the morning, I'm awakened with two hands choking me. And I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I'm dreaming this. But, you know, when you have a dream, you wake up and it's over. I wasn't dreaming. Someone was doing this. It was the spirit. And finally, I kind of shook it loose. And later, I asked Barbara, what was that? And she tuned in and said, it's him. He's still in the house. He doesn't realize he's died, and he thinks you're an intruder. He's trying to protect his home. You know, so these things, you know, they do happen. And it does, even though the angels can be there, sometimes they don't even recognize them on the other side. And it can take a while for them to realize, gosh, I really did die. It's time for me to go home. You know, we get so attached to the earth, we don't realize it's just a visit here. Be comfortable, but don't get too comfortable.
Do they, like in the movie City of Angels, can they take on a physical appearance?
Yes, they definitely can. And I love Barbara's story in the book about she got in a serious car accident, and it caused a lot of financial distress and physical pain. And she prayed for an angel to help her, and she had this visitation, and it looked like a businessman that, you know, that had come, you know, to help her. And, you know, in her naivete, she said, well, you're not an angel, you know. And he says, I'm not. And then he showed his light rays and who he really was and came back as the businessman to, you know, not to scare her. So sometimes they will take on a semblance very human-like and natural so they don't spook us out. Because often people get scared. They think if they see an angel, they're dying. You know, oh, gosh, I saw an angel. It must mean I'm going to die. You know, it doesn't mean that at all. It just means they're coming around to help you.
Well, that's a good point, though. Some people do think, oh, my gosh, they're like, you know, the angel of death, right?
Exactly. It's my time. My number's up.
Communing with the divine, of course, which is your work with Barbara. What's the main message, Dimitri, you want people to get from that?
The main message is these beings are real. And do everything in your power to make it a cooperative effort. They're not there as an adornment to our life. They're there as the very partnership to success in life. They've already been part of your success already. But when you start knocking on their door a little more directly, the process unfolds more beautifully and more splendidly, and eventually reaches that mystical place of union.
Well, when that happens,
it's a magical moment.
It is a magical moment, isn't it?
Yeah.
Your website's still the same as they were 3 years ago?
Yes.
Spiritual Arts?
Spiritualarts.org. And for the listeners, if they join our mailing list, we'll invite them to a webinar next Tuesday to do that. And we have a wonderful workshop on the 27th here in Santa Monica. If they mention that they've been on Coast to Coast, we'll give them an additional $10 off for the event. So, you know, there's a lot of information on the website. We do a lot of classes, a lot of workshops, and, of course, we have the other books as well, on the aura, karma, and healing.
All right, well, let's take some phone calls when we come back next hour, Dimitri. We will have questions, of course, or share your angelic moment with us. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.